All right, so welcome back to another episode of Second Chance Cinema. I am MC.
My name is Bro.
And today we're here to talk about what can only be described as a truly divisive film.
It is. Surprisingly so.
Either you love it or you're obsessed with it, is what I mean. And of course that's not true. Either you love it or you just abhor it and think it's just garbage. And there are a lot of reasons that you might think it's garbage. And we'll get into those. But first, as per our tradition on the show, we're going to play the trailer and, you know, see if you can guess what movie it is. Chances are you will be able to, because lots of times in these situations, they actually say the name of the movie in the trailer. And while this happens, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to indulge in the ancient art of Japanese syllable poetry and write a haiku that describes this movie pretty much perfectly. So let's go ahead and let's play the trailer.
Activate the remote.
In the race for the world's most advanced communications technology, a shocking discovery has been made.
What was that?
Lock your remote. Give me a thermal reading. Resolve to 6-6.
It will take two young scientists into the heart of the African jungle, where a secret hidden for 2,000 years holds the key to the future.
This is Karen Ross, 81452 Houston, do you read?
You used to work for the CIA, and now you're travel corps.
Some will come to it for science.
This is a big deal, Charles. This is a big find.
Some for fortune.
A diamond mine of incredible bounty.
And some to return home.
She doesn't really belong anywhere, does she?
No, she belongs here.
Together, they will search.
My boss, he thought I wasn't gonna make it. He sent another expedition.
Drawn deep into a mystery.
Camp destroyed. People dead. A gray gorilla.
No such thing as a gray gorilla.
I saw one.
And the more they discover,
the same hieroglyphics over and over,
the greater the danger.
What do they say?
We are watching you.
Help me! Help me! Ah!
I never saw any animal move like that.
Shoot it! Shoot it! How intelligent are they?
See, they're smart. They're too damn smart.
Watch out!
No! We're getting out of here.
What about them?
Put them on the endangered species list.
From the best-selling novel by the author of Jurassic Park.
The myth of the killer ape is true.
Congo, where you are the endangered species.
Okay, so here's the haiku. She good gorilla. Now, Tim Curry, stop eating my sesame cake.
I like it.
It's pretty much the best haiku that's been written on this show so far in three episodes.
And
two.
I think, like, you point out two of the best parts of the movie. You got Delroy Lindo, and the fact that anybody that likes the book of this film likes the way that Amy speaks in the film, because it's exactly how Michael Crichton.
Well, that's what I was going to get. That's what I was going to get at first, is the fact that the reason people dislike this movie so much is because, I'm not sure if you know this, but Michael Crichton also wrote Jurassic Park.
Right.
And well, that movie was pretty awesome. And so for this to come out in 1995, which was only 2 years after Jurassic Park, everybody was expecting some wondrous, crazy good adaptation of a book. And that's not entirely what we got.
Well, and I think, like, what happened was Jurassic Park was so successful that everybody, like, all his books, the rights were bought up. And if you look at the plethora. Of his books, he writes about a new topic every single time. So it's none of them are going to be like Jurassic Park. They're highly researched. It's like ER, which was also his TV show, is nothing like Jurassic
Park. Was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because he was a doctor before he was an author.
He was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
So he wrote Jurassic, or he put up ER, and nobody went to Jurassic Park thinking it was going to be about doctors. But Jurassic Park blew up, tickled every kid's dinosaur bone.
Right.
And then...
Oh, nice. Good one. Good one.
They did a... Then they bought up Congo and Sphere, and the Andromeda Strain was also his. None of these.
What did that turn into? Was that the hot? No, not the hot. The hot. What was that movie called? Outbreak.
Outbreak. I feel like Outbreak was. I think Outbreak was based on its own
right,
book,
right.
But in the same instance, it held.
We
a
should
lot
do Outbreak on the show. That was,
we should.
I didn't. I didn't mind Hoffman. Outbreak. I didn't mind Outbreak. A little Patrick Dempsey getting spit on by a monkey.
Yeah, a little Marcella.
Yeah, that same monkey that's been working in Hollywood for like 25 years.
Oh my gosh, that monkey is rich. Or at least his dream.
Do you know what? That monkey's name is Crystal. I know that.
How do you know that? So is that a girl monkey?
It's a girl monkey, yeah. I'm assuming it's the same monkey as that was in The Hangover, and that's the only reason I remember it.
How long is that monkey going to be alive?
Monkeys live, man.
I mean, Outbreak was like 1995.
Monkeys live. They're... You know, especially if you take good care of a Hollywood monkey, that monkey's probably all pampered and
wow,
stuff.
I guess 1995, right.
So, yeah, right. The point is...
Which was the same year as Congo.
The point is, Michael Crichton was coming off, and not just Michael Crichton, but let's not forget, too, that we had Steven Spielberg directing Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
And no disrespect, but we've got Frank Marshall directing Congo.
Frank Marshall, who is famous for...
Let's check it out.
The BFG now.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Oh, Signs, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I was going to say, it can't be The Curious Case because that was David Fincher.
Oh, it's not?
No.
What was he? Oh, he was a producer. Sorry.
Arachnophobia, which is good.
Okay.
Alive, which is about eating people's butts.
Yeah.
Eight Below, which I will never watch again.
Eight Below. Oh, yeah, we talked about that last time. He was a production executive on 98 episodes of Tiny Toons. That's pretty awesome.
He's got quite the career going.
I don't see anything... I don't see him listed as a director anywhere. Was that... Maybe
it's
I read
like
that
all
wrong.
The way at the back. He's got 13 credits, but really only 3 movies.
Director, Frank Marshall. Well, anyway, the point is, Frank Marshall's not Steven Spielberg.
Absolutely not.
And like I said, no disrespect to him, but Steven Spielberg put together Jurassic Park, and it was pretty much a perfect movie. There are a few nitpicks here and there, but it was pretty much a perfect movie. And from there, we were birthed Congo. The IMDb summary of Congo says... When an expedition to the African Congo ends in disaster, a new team is assembled to find out what went wrong. What went wrong? Do you think that's pretty accurate?
Yeah. Here's the thing when it comes to Congo. I mean, it's in the title. It's Congo. You come away from the book of Congo, which was written, you know, similar story to the movie. But like every other chapter is almost like a textbook of... real facts about Congo.
See, you remember the book. I don't remember the book.
And it was great. I mean, I love my.
The only thing I remember about the book is the part where the monkey throws an eyeball at the guy sitting on the ground.
You don't remember like it was like textbook. Like it was not anything with the story. It was like the Republic of Congo. Da 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 da.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was it like in Jurassic Park where he had the fractals and stuff
yeah.
in between each page?
I mean,
page?
He just got super smart in it, and I was a sixth grader trying to get through it. So yeah. I was like, where's the head-smashing monkeys?
Well, lucky for you, the movie appealed probably more to sixth graders than...
I think that's exactly... I mean, it's a PG-13 movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it in the theater?
I don't think so.
See, I didn't either. I don't think I saw it till years later when it was on like HBO or something.
I know. I mean, I would... play the VHS in the mornings when I got ready for school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like, wow. I was super
So that's
big.
What psyched you up for your day was, yeah. like, Amy
and
Goodgirl.
And then I would just walk around talking like Ernie Hudson the whole day.
Oh, the Great White Hunter. Let's talk about Ernie Hudson. Most of you might know Ernie Hudson from one of two things. You might know him as Winston from Ghostbusters or Winston from Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
That's probably what you're going to know him as.
Wasn't he really creepy in Requiem for a Dream?
I don't think I ever saw that.
Oh, don't.
He was great.
I mean, it was a great movie.
He was great in The Crow as the police officer. slash detective. Okay. And I was thinking of something on the way over here that he was into, and I can't remember it. But chances are you know him as Winston. In this movie, he plays Monroe, the Great White Hunter, who, in a twist of dramatic
diversity
and it's not really, no, it kind of is irony, right? Because you think it's going to be one thing and then it turns out to be another one.
Right.
He happens to be black.
Well, that's what he points out.
And he points that out.
Who just happens to be black.
The Great White Hunter who just happens to be black.
Wait, I mean, he's perfect. So, leading up to this episode, what I decided to do, because our main mission is to point out how these movies are not as bad as people think they are.
Right.
I was like, why does Congo get such a bad rap? So right. I went into my Podcast Addict app, and I looked up Congo, and then every podcast that was bashing Congo, right. I was like, let me just get a little taste of, you know, what they're saying.
And what did they have to say?
One podcast in particular was hating on the accents, right?
Okay.
And there was like six hosts in this podcast, and every one of them was like, well, that person was fine, but this person was horrible.
Who else had an accent besides?
They said Ernie Hudson, Tim Curry.
Oh, yeah.
Delroy Lindo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
right.
they went
you're
through
right.
like the gambit. But then, like, one host.
Did you say gambit?
Yeah.
Or gamut?
Gamut.
You said gamut.
I'm pretty sure, like, every episode I'm going to mispronounce words.
No, that's okay. Gambit is, I was just thinking, like, ha, mon petit chéri, I throw cards at you.
I like it better.
Gamut is, like, I'm not sure the exact definition, but it's, like, an assortment or, like, a lineup of things, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So they went through the gamut.
Right.
Thank you. I mean, you're teaching me things right now.
All
right. All right. So they went through the gamut of everybody in the movie, and they would be like, and then one host would say, you know, well, Delroy Lindo's accent was fine, but Tim Curry needed help. And then somebody was like, I didn't mind Tim Curry's accent, but really Ernie Hudson was bothering me. And at the end, they were like, well, nobody's accent was good. I was like, well, that's not how math works.
Man,
one plus one does not equal zero.
Is that as boring as our podcast is?
No.
I hope not.
Because they also talked really slowly.
Okay. Well, to be honest, I don't think I find it so hard to believe that anyone was trying to do, that anyone was trying super, super hard. And I don't want to crush on the acting or anything, but that anyone was trying to win an Academy Award with their accents
right.
in this movie. I feel like, especially Tim Curry, Herka Merhamolka, was more so like, yeah, let's just fucking do this.
And I feel like...
He had a few shots of brandy before he came on set every day.
And I'll be honest, there was a day probably a week ago that I just celebrated Tim Curry, because I think people wait for the bad thing
Tim
to
Curry,
happen.
Oh, Tim Curry Day?
Yeah, Curry Day. Nice. You know, like where you pop on Clue and the original It and Rocky Horror Picture Show and Congo, and you revel.
You have so much spare time. You really do.
That's what I mean, a writer kind of just sits around and
I guess so,
but stews in his own misery.
His own imagination filth.
You just put him on in the background, and then when Tim Curry speaks, you look at the screen.
Fair
enough.
And
I think, like, people wait for... We all know, you know, we wish nothing but the best for his health.
Is he dead?
No, he had a stroke. Like, he's suffering.
Oh, when did he have a stroke?
A couple years ago.
I suppose you wouldn't wish the best for someone's health if they were dead.
Or, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Or
that pretty much
perfect health.
Well... I mean, you'd wish for continued prosperity.
Yeah, I guess.
But if someone was dead, there's really no point in wishing good health.
Right. Rest in peace.
Seems like a wasted wish.
True. But I mean, like, people then celebrate, like, David Bowie and Prince when they didn't think about him for 2 years. Like, Tim Curry's
don't
still
get
alive.
Me started on that shit, man.
Yeah.
When a celebrity dies.
Oh, and everybody comes out of the woodwork.
Don't get me started on that shit. It's like, I listened to David Bowie's CD once 3 years ago, and now I'm touched. Shut the fuck up.
So that's what I'm saying with Tim Curry. You could celebrate him now because he's awesome. And his roles are awesome. And he brings something new to every single one of them. So this one stands out for me, and it's in Congo, which everybody loves to bash.
Well, so Tim Curry, we talked about Ernie Hudson. Delroy Lindo, who is, I'm not going to say he's one of my favorite actors because that's so not true. But he, like, every time he's in a movie, I find him amusing and entertaining.
Cider House Rules is one of my favorites just because of him.
The one with Jet Li.
Okay.
And that's probably another movie that's going to come up on here at some point.
For the longest time for me, though, he was that guy from Congo.
Yeah.
Like
the general, the, what was he, the colonel, the general?
I think colonel.
Colonel, something like that. Don't want nobody peeking.
Well, and that's the other thing is that...
I love how he staples the bag shut, too. Like, do you remember that when they pass him the bribe?
Yeah.
And he puts it in this garbage bag. Or no, this grocery bag.
Yeah,
this,
like a big brown paper
bag that he just has sitting there. And then he crumples it up and he staples it like five times.
And he's uncredited in this movie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, I mean, that's probably why I did not... know his name for the longest time, and he was just the man from Congo.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense. He was in Gone in 60 Seconds, which I watched last night, which I thought, like, he plays the same thing except in Congo, but he plays the same basic, like, cop slash detective slash, you know, law enforcement guy pretty much in I would say, 75% of his movies.
Right.
But he's good at it.
He's in all the movies that I think do not get a good rap, like Broken Arrow.
Oh, yeah. People he was in like Broken Arrow, too.
People hate to or love to hate on Broken Arrow. Ransom, which is one of my
favorites. Oh, yeah. He was in Ransom, too. Man, he's in everything.
And then A Life Less Ordinary, which I understand why people don't like that.
That one I don't know, but man, that's guy.
That's Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz.
That guy gets work.
He does. Romeo Must Die, he was in.
I bet he was a cop in that.
Yeah. In Domino. I mean, he plays. The man's voice is butter.
Yeah.
And so he always plays a character that knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. You know, I remember the first time I saw Ransom, I thought there was going to be a twist where he was the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, I think you should just pay him. I think you should just pay him. And I thought to myself, oh, he's in it with Gary Sinise and Donnie Wahlberg.
Spoiler alert.
Well, no, because they reveal that pretty early in the movie, right? He comes back to like the flop house and he's like, what are you guys doing?
I don't know. I want to revisit it.
Did you hear my Gary Sinise impression?
No. Do it again?
He comes back to the flop house and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing in here with you messing things up? You know. that was pretty good.
The other thing that bothers me about people that love to bash the movie is that when they start the podcast.
Congo or Ransom? Okay.
Going back to that. Is they start with, stop eating my sesame cake.
That's the best part of the movie.
Well, don't quote anything, you know. Don't joyously quote a movie that you're about to bash. Like, obviously, the movie resonated something with you, if you can...
I will ask you to wait outside, you piece of shit. That's what I would say to them.
Oh, my gosh. I love this. I think the movie is beautiful. And I think, now that I just saw that Delroy Lindo... is uncredited. There's another big star in this that is uncredited as well.
Wait, let me see if I can guess.
Yep.
Another big star who's uncredited.
He's got a nickname, kind of like John Leguizamo is Johnny Legs, but this guy...
I did not know that, and also thanks for reminding me that John Leguizamo is a person. Forgot about him.
I'm sure he'll appear on this show sometime.
This person has a nickname and is uncredited in Congo. I don't know.
Joey Pants. Joe Pantoliano.
Oh, yeah, at the airport.
Yep.
That's right. He's like, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Monroe, these are my people.
I feel the money hairs on my back going woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, you know, my Gary Sinise sounds remarkably like my Joe Pantoliano.
And I like how we pretty much talked about everybody in this movie but the two stars.
Well, let's talk about the two stars then. Dylan Walsh and Laura Linney he's a scientist, right?
Yeah.
And she's like a
They're both doctors, because they have the joke at the airport where it's doctor.
Doctor. Oh, doctor. Yeah. So she's like a telecommunications expert or something like that.
Yeah, a doctor of telecommunications.
A doctor of telephones. She's a doctor of telephones. Now, were they like household names before this at all? Were they in anything before this at all? Not that they're household names now.
Right. Well, I think Laura Linney blew up and Dylan Walsh became the guy from Nip Tuck.
Yeah, but if he became the guy from Nip Tuck.
Or the stepfather.
I did not hate that movie.
No. And I think he was cast perfectly because he looks like such a gentle soul who strangles people.
But back real quick. If he became known as the guy from Nip Tuck, Can you really say that he blew up? Because you didn't know his name. Right. You knew that he was the guy from Nip Tuck.
Oh, he was in The Lake House, too.
I don't know what that is.
With Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock?
Keanu Reeves was in Speed, and that's what I know.
Or Matrix?
The Matrix.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Yeah, that's what I know, too. Point Break? I know that. Oh, and John Wick, which... John Wick I walked out of.
Right, we went over
we
that.
We talk about that? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So...
But the point of John Wick, and I don't know if we said that, is he gets revenge for the killing.
No, game. I know. Eventually, I watched the rest of it, and it was pretty sweet. I just was not in a good place.
No, that's
maybe that can be a recurring theme on each episode, is how we talk about how I walked out of John Wick, because I was sad.
Yes. I'm sure if you start a second chance Twitter, you'll get some fanboy hate for not walking out of John Wick.
Okay. So...
Be excited for that.
Do we really need to discuss the plot of Congo? I mean, basically what it is we sort of read the IMDb thing, and it says they go from this expedition that goes into the Congo and disappears.
Another star that comes out of nowhere is, for 4 minutes, Bruce Campbell.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Campbell. He's the guy at the beginning who comes out of, or they go into the Congo, and none of them come back. And so they send a second expedition in, and that's where all these Dylan Walsh and Laura Linney and Ernie Hudson are all part of. They go in and they find that what they're looking for is this giant diamond, which is supposed to power a giant laser, which is supposed to shoot at a giant satellite, which is supposed to make a bunch of telephones work, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, they destroy the satellite, right?
She does.
Yeah.
But she's not supposed to.
Yeah.
Originally, they wanted the diamond to... Like, she does that to get back at the boss, who... The boss's son was part of the first expedition.
Right.
And she was in love with the boss's son, or they were married or something.
Right.
And so there's a part where she says, if I find out that you sent me in here to find out anything other than what happened to Billy or whatever his name was, I'll make you regret it. And it turns out he's... The boss is like a big money grubbing tycoon, and of course he just wants the diamond, and then she lets him have it by blowing up his satellite, which is pretty badass.
Right.
All things considered.
Which was one of the podcast's main like things that they hated about the movie, was they're like, well, and she just destroyed $1 billion satellite, and I was like, come on, man.
Why is that bad?
I don't, why does anybody care so much about that particular moment in the film? Here's the thing, when it comes to Congo for me, the whole movie, there's the little bit of action at the very beginning when it concerns Bruce Campbell and his team going down.
Right.
And then the whole movie is pretty much the traveling through Africa to get to Congo. And so it's more of an exploration of where Africa is as a continent, with going between country lines, because they land in Delroy Lindo and they have to bribe this colonel so they can go over into this country.
And then they still get shot at.
Right. And then they have to, you know... pretty much hijack a plane to go over rocket launched areas.
That's right. Yeah, they get a rocket and they have to parachute out with the monkey, which is pretty awesome.
I mean, it's
the ape, excuse me.
It's pretty much exploring the fact that Africa is a continent in chaos and nobody talks to each other, nobody gets along.
So there's actual geopolitical climate in this movie.
That's the movie, you know, like people that go, oh man, I came for the killer gorillas, like that's not what we're talking about here.
Let's talk about two more things. Let's talk about Amy the good gorilla, and then let's talk about the killer gorillas.
I learned sign language from this film.
Did you?
Yeah. Pretty.
What's pretty? How do you do pretty?
Pretty is you kind of wave like your hand
you swipe like, in front of your face,
almost like John Cena.
Pretty. Okay.
And then yeah, that was pretty much.
Well, the effects with Amy the gorilla weren't the best. I think we can agree on that.
Good for the time.
Well, were they, though? Because Jurassic Park was 2 years before that, and those were pretty insane.
I mean, now that we live in a world of Andy Serkis doing, you know, Caesar from Planet of the Apes.
Right.
It's none of that.
But I would love to see Congo remade with Andy Planet Serkis? Of the Apes technology.
I mean, that would be amazing.
That would be insane.
And it's been 22 years, so it's about time.
It's about time to rehash Congo. I think some executives really need to. Yeah, they really need to get on that.
But it was a good suit. The eyes blinked. You know, it's not bad CGI. Where if you look at it now, you're like, well, I could completely tell that it's fake. At least they used real animatronics for it. The gray gorillas look more like Harry and the Hendersons.
See, I didn't mind that because they were supposed to be mutants anyway. Mm. Like, they were supposed to be these, like, had never seen civilization gorillas who were just kept in, like, they like lived in this volcano or whatever.
Right.
So I didn't mind that they looked weird.
Well, and they made them ugly, so you didn't care if they died or not.
What was really
doing their job.
Right. It was awesome when she takes the laser and just mows them down like she's fucking cutting the lawn. Yeah. But what was a little bit disheartening was when at the end when they show Amy, the animatronic gorilla, next to the actual real gorillas, which I think were real gorillas. And so it was like, oh, you know, you're putting like your kid's drawing on the refrigerator next to like a photorealist painting.
It's kind of similar to when you watch a movie based off a real story and they show you the real people at the end and you're like,
yes,
well, that person looked nothing.
Right.
Like Sharon Stone played that woman, you know, type of thing.
You're talking about Alpha Dog, aren't you? Yeah, I thought you were.
Yeah, I went there. I mean, I was also thinking Bleed Like This with Miles Teller. Like, at the end, they put it up, and you're like, wait a minute, Miles Teller's not whatever.
Oh, that's the boxing one, yeah. I feel like we've talked about that, too, on this show. We're going to have to get out of the habit of this.
I know.
Let's look at some IMDb. The two IMDb ones that pop up first, the IMDb reviews that pop up first, are both kind of in line with what we're saying. Memorably quirky and juvenile, unique and underappreciated is the first one.
People need to see this movie. I mean, here's the thing when it comes to Laura Linney. Laura Linney appears on my screen and I feel warm. She is just one of those actresses, like, if I ever run across somebody that does not like Laura Linney as an actress or as a person, I feel like I can't trust that person.
I don't know of much more that Laura Linney has been in other than Congo. If you said Laura Linney, I would say, oh, the chick from Congo?
Love Actually. I think I turn away when she takes her top off because I'm like, no, I can't.
Let oh, those are naked. No, you don't want to. I mean, nothing
I feel
against
so bad for her in Love.
Nothing
Actually.
against her topless, but yeah, you want to keep her in the highest regard.
Yeah, like I was like, ah, oh, no. And you're right. Like I really can't. Other than those two, but in the same instance, that's enough for me to
oh,
be like,
good.
I like Laura Linney, and when she appears on a red carpet or whatnot, I was like, well, I hope you're nominated. And if
does
you
she
are,
do
I hope you
does
win.
She do a lot of red carpet work these days?
Her IMDb profile picture is on the red carpet, so maybe okay. that's like a vision board for her, maybe.
Okay. Maybe. Oh, I get it. A vision. Okay.
Yeah.
One other IMDb review says this movie is Legends of the Hidden Temple with intelligent gorillas and science. That's a pretty, pretty solid explanation for some of the events that take place in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This review also goes on to compare Jurassic Park and Congo, which we already did, so suck
and
it.
And I don't think you should, you know?
No,
even
I guess not.
It's like, if you compare Congo to Jurassic Park, you're going to be let down. If you compare Sphere to Congo, you're going to probably like Congo so much better.
Now here, this is a good one. This film is special to me. I remember being only 6 years old when my older brother and his friends rented this one night. I watched it with them, and now that I'm 17 years old, I feel that this was one of my most cherished memories. Can you imagine that, having the movie Congo? That's how I feel about Street Fighter. When we do Street Fighter, we'll get into why it's one of my most cherished movies.
Okay.
But that's exactly how I feel about Street Fighter.
I'm the same way with The Beach.
You've told me that.
Yep.
You've told me that. So, can we say anything else about Congo, or should we wrap this up?
Other than, I mean, it's got a 5.1 rating on IMDb.
Right down the middle.
Right down the middle. And I think that's probably the worst reviewed movie we've done yet.
So we've done. We've got our leaderboard, which right now, ranked wise, goes Boiler Room, then Jurassic Park 3.
Uh-huh.
Where would you throw Congo in?
It's definitely above Jurassic Park 3.
So we're thinking Boiler Room, Congo, then Jurassic Park 3.
I think so. Although, Congo's easier to go down than Boiler Room. Like, Boiler Room, I feel like I'm going to sit down, I'm going to focus on it. Congo, like, even I popped it on today just to vacuum up and get ready for you to come over to my abode as we record this in Twinsburg, Ohio, and not in Omega Point Films production studio
offices.
I'm going to
make a bold proclamation, and I'm going to say that Congo should be at the top of the list of films that deserve a second chance. Over Boiler Room.
I think I could recommend it more
over to Jurassic people. Park 3.
Yeah.
Congo, I think, has more general appeal.
Because Boiler Room, like I stated in the first episode, is just, I mean, the humor is off color. Like, if you don't have, you know, that kind of sentimentality, you're not going to enjoy Boiler Room as much
as,
like,
you sort of have to be a little bit of a douchebag to enjoy Boiler Room.
You at least need that sense of humor.
Whereas with Congo, you just have to love
Tim Curry.
And apes.
And Delroy Lindo.
Accents.
Joey Pants. Bruce Campbell.
And lasers.
I feel like the cast alone takes it all the way up to a 6 rating.
If you tried to sell me the movie based on what I've just said, apes, accents, and lasers, I would watch it.
And I'm the same. Like, I love African.
I would camp out all nights for tickets to that movie. Apes, accents, and lasers. In fact, that should be the subtitle of Congo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this. When an expedition to the African Congo ends in disaster, a new team is assembled to find out what went wrong. That
wasn't the tagline, though. The tagline was, where you are the endangered species. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of mirrors Laura Linney's line right before she starts shooting off the laser, which is, welcome to the endangered species list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How is this movie not more?
And that's another thing love. Before we cut off is, how strong of a female character is Laura Linney in this?
She really is a badass. She reminds me of Ripley.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. From Aliens.
Like, this is a feminist women's dream role. That she's strong, she's smart.
I don't know that Gloria Steinem would agree with you, but I see your point.
Yeah, I don't think Gloria Steinem and I are ever going to sit down and
I can't see a remake of this movie with Gloria Steinem as Karen Ross, but whatever.
But you're right. I mean, Sigourney Weaver could have played it. Mm-hmm. Any strong female, you know, can play this role. She, like we said, she's a doctor in telecommunications. She's the one that picks up the gun at the end and saves everybody.
She's way tougher than Dylan Walsh.
She never takes no for an answer. You know, she goes head
to
head with all the guys in this movie.
She's the true evolution in this movie, I think.
Yes.
She's what represents the alpha, so to speak. And actually, Amy is female gorilla too. Maybe there's some subconscious parallel there that we're not seeing.
Yeah, and I don't think Dylan Walsh has ever been considered an alpha.
No, definitely.
So, I mean, like,
no respect, Dylan Walsh, if you happen to be listening to this driving in LA somewhere.
I think your curly hair is fun.
Awesome. All right, so with that, we will end, and I think we can both agree that when it comes to Congo, the movie, it wasn't that bad. All right, we'll see you guys later. Thanks.